The question was asked, when we see something bad happening to someone, so there's sometimes that feeling of they did A wrong or B wrong or C wrong, so we wonder whether we should attribute what happened to them to what they did wrong, and do we have a right to do that? So this runs a fine line. I want to begin where I think this stems from by us mere mortals, us simple folk like us. We have a very hard time dealing with bad news. We have a very hard time psychologically dealing with things that are sad. And we have a very hard time looking at the world and realizing that there's a lot we don't understand about it. Especially when we have to face things that we feel very bad happened. And it's natural that our first reaction is going to be to try and find a reason why that makes sense, that should have happened. And everything I'm discussing now is psychology, not religion. Okay? It's part of the makeup of many people. Somehow, if we can find a reason why it's that person's fault, so then we can sleep better at night. There's order to the world. It makes sense. So if a roller coaster goes flying off its tracks and people get killed, so the first thought might be, why would anyone go on such a dangerous roller coaster? Because then I can live more comfortably with the idea that there's order in the world. They did something that was dangerous, and yes, they got killed. So this happens on many fronts. And when a person is religious, then it could happen on many more fronts. And again, I think psychologically, it's a way we protect ourselves, because then we can live better with a world that's there's an order to. Sure, it makes sense. Friend of mine had a friend. This isn't like, I don't know the guy who did this, but I studied under the guy whose friend was doing daredevil stunts on Yom Kippur. He used to ride a motorcycle, and his greatest daredevil stunt was somewhere in Israel where there are two cliffs, and he zoomed up and took the flying leap from one cliff to the other and didn't make it, and he became squashed, you know, dead on the wall of the next cliff. So when my friend told me this, he says, what was he thinking on Yom Kippur? On Yom Kippur? You want to do something so dangerous, but on Yom Kippur? So it shocked me, because I was just thinking of a human being flattened against the wall like you swatted a fly, and I couldn't, I didn't know who it was. I never met this guy. But he's talking about, you know, so to speak, like, how crazy, how stupid can you be? On Yom Kippur, you're going to challenge God, you know. Okay, so that was his way of dealing with it. But I have a hard time viewing that as religious. I think it's more psychological. So I remember here when New Orleans had their flood. So everyone was talking about how New Orleans was the capital of promiscuity, and I think there was Mardi Gras there, right? So, what? Okay, so everyone was saying, like, of course New Orleans had a flood. And I was thinking, isn't there a lot of improper stuff in San Francisco? I didn't see a tsunami hit there. Or Las Vegas, you know.
That classic example, was it that school bus of kids in the 80s or 70s that was kidnapped by the Palestinian terrorists? Was it something like that? Amish,
right.
They were all killed, but they were going on a field trip on Shabbos, and big rabbis said, well, school sent them out on Shabbos,
Okay, so I think the first approach is, we don't know God's ways. And the fact that we very much want to view things this way, I attribute that more to psychology than to religion. So that's, I think, just if we're going to be honest, on our little level, we don't understand God. Now, I've been saying this for years. Recently, we came across a line in the Chazon Ish, Emunah u'Bitachon, where he says it. He says it so succinctly. He says, the fact that you have Emunah u'Bitachon is not that you're confident that because you have the right faith and you have faith in God, so everything will work out right. You're going to have the right faith and you have no idea how it'll work out, but you're still going to do what's right and believe in what's right because it's right. We'd like to think, and we like to say that's what Emunah really is, but no, it isn't. So that Chazon Ish writes in Emunah u'Bitachon. Okay, so that's step one. Once we have that down pat, we can go on to step two. Step two is that, in fact, there is a judge, and there is a justice system, and people do get punished for what they do. And one of the reasons that we are taught the way God handles the world is midah keneged midah, is because we are supposed to see God's hand in the world. There is this concept where God says, if the Egyptians ruled that Jewish women cannot bathe in the Nile, so that they could never cleanse themselves of their menstruation, so then God turns the Nile into the very blood that they didn't want the Jews to cleanse themselves of. If the Egyptians insisted that the Jews go hunt wild animals and endanger their lives, so then wild animals will come and attack the Egyptians. And each one of the 10 plagues has a correspondence in the decisions and the and what?
The Aphat principle, a turn for a turn.
Yeah. Okay. So that's
what's the difference when God is telling you this than you're
here? So that's partially true. I'm saying for sure if God tells me then I know. And if God doesn't tell me then I'm guessing. But at the end of the day we should notice certain things. I'm saying there is a point of looking at the world and saying, I can see that God's running this. I'm just saying we have to discern between these two points. First, we have to be honest and recognize that most of what we're doing is trying to find reasons so that we can live with the world and feel like there's an order we understand to the world. And that's fallacious. There's no order that we understand. We don't understand. Once we've gotten that down pat, then there is this concept where Chazal did expect us to be open-minded enough to notice that there is a rhyme and a reason and a system. So if you look at it at first glance, the two things I said are contradictory, but they're not. Meaning, if I can say I don't know how God's running the world, but look, this seems there seems to be a very serious correlation here between these things. So then I think then I'm starting to be honest. It's interesting to note that A followed B. And they do, there is a rhyme and reason to it. At the same time, I'll always say, I don't know. Like I said, can it be that that's why New Orleans had their flood? It could be. But I don't really understand it because there are a lot of other places where people are sinning. I don't see them being struck down there with lightning. You know, so I don't have a system I can say, this is going to happen. I know God's ways. No, we don't. We don't know God's ways. So that's point number two, guys. I'll get to you in a second. There is a point number three. David HaMelech said, Tzidkatcha keharerei el, Mishpatecha tehom rabba. Tzidkatcha, your righteousness is like the mountains. When good things happen in our lives, a person should look at it and say, wow, God did this good thing for me. And sometimes a person can see a correlation. Mishpatecha tehom rabba. But when God punishes, it's like the depths. You can't figure it out. What's the rhyme and reason? What did all those girls do to be captured by Boko Haram? I have no idea. That's how you pronounce his name?
Weird.
Yeah?
Boko Haram. Yeah.
I'm saying, what did they do? I have no idea. What's the difference between the 6 million who perished in the Holocaust and those who made it out alive? I don't know. My grandmother was one of those who made it out alive, and she said she spent her whole life wondering why she did. She told me, she always wondered, why did God spare me? What did he want from me? What did he, you know, she came from a family of 8, 4 perished and 4 made it out, which was unusual. It's like a big number. Other people didn't have so many people making it out alive. My grandmother told me she was always wondering, why? She didn't know. She didn't know. She felt that if she did make it out alive, that gave her responsibility. But I'm just saying, so you look at it and you say, I don't understand the system. But that doesn't negate having an appreciation when things do make sense. And then a person would be careful to say, like Aaron said, I don't have a prophet, God didn't tell me, but if I notice A and B and C, I can have an appreciation for it. And I should notice A and B and C. And that was part of the message of the Tochacha we read 2 weeks ago in Parshas Bechukosai. God says, when things happen in a person's life, they have to look at it and say, okay, maybe God's sending me a message if things are going wrong in my life. Us as a nation, a message if things are going wrong in the nation's life. But there's also that element where we find in Tanakh and in our sages that when things happen to a nation, not necessarily to us, there's also an element of seeing God's hand in it and saying, perhaps this is what God is doing. But I think this is only legitimate after we've overcome point one. Because if I'm really looking for a rhyme and a reason to placate my psychological need, then I'm not doing anything but placating my psychological need. If I can overcome point one, then I can graduate to point two. But if I can't overcome point one, then I'm not sure there's a point, then I'm playing a game. And that's hard. It's very hard to overcome the first point, which is our need to find a rhyme and reason. So,